Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. This may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord.
I was very blessed to grow up with a dad in my life, and I love my dad very, very much. He was a great dad, but more importantly, a godly dad, and he taught me many of life lessons. Now, I'm not going to share the really embarrassing ones with you up here, but I do want to share a few. So here are some lessons that I learned from my dad, besides being cute. But he taught me that I'm responsible to clean up my own mess. My dad taught me to tell the truth even when it's hard, and to do the right thing even when nobody's looking. My dad taught me a love for learning. I remember he always had a stack of books there on his bedside table, and he was reading through them, and he just loved to read and to learn and to grow. And I too have a stack of books on my shelf that I'll never get through, but by the time I do finish them, I'll have more to read. So I really love learning and growing and reading that way. So he taught me that. He taught me that it's better to give than to receive. He gave a lot. He taught me that not obeying has consequences. Probably like many of your dads, he had some disciplinary measures. And what my dad used to do was use what's called the Board of Education. And this was a piece of wood, probably about that long. And he would use this on me when I was out of line to help me get back in line. And this particular Board of Education was spray-painted black, I guess for fear, and from what I hear, had holes drilled in it for less wind resistance. That's what my family said. So when I was a kid, I was pretty ornery, if you can imagine that. Just use your imagination. But he actually broke this board on me one day after disciplining me, and I was the one who broke this black Board of Education. So he used it many times since then, other boards, and you know, he really left a mark on me in my life. But I was grateful to learn those lessons in some ways. He taught me how to sneak dessert first. He doesn't know that I know this, but I know this, that before supper sometimes he would sneak cookies from over there when Mom wasn't looking. And I've developed a little bit of that habit as well when Rachel isn't looking, but I don't know if my mom ever found out or she was too naive, but I saw him. I saw him, and I learned. My dad taught me not to hit other people, not to hit others. When I was younger, again, this is when my ornery stage was, we were at my Grandpa Kane's trailer one day, and he was sitting outside, and I had this habit of just walking up to people and just punching them, just hitting people, just I guess to see the reaction or what they would do or how much it hurt, I don't know. So I walked up to my grandpa sitting in the chair and I just pounded at him on the leg, and he really didn't like that. In fact, he was ticked off pretty bad, and he gave me a strong lecture. Many years following that, I would continue to hit my sister, but eventually I learned, hopefully, when she moved out, then I couldn't hit her anymore, I guess. My dad taught me how to be organized a little bit. He would put dates, and this is a dad trademark, but he would put dates on everything pretty much that he bought. Over maybe on the bottom of the item or behind it, he would use a Sharpie and write down the date he bought it, how much he bought it for, and sometimes even where he bought it at. So in moving these different places to Omaha to here, we've gotten some furniture from them. And I looked to when I went to fix my coffee table a few months ago, and I took the leg off and everything and flipped it over. And there was the date. It said, from Grandpa Bill, like 1976, gave to Danny at, you know, 2005 or whatever it was. And I'm like, oh, well, there's Dad. But he put dates on all this stuff. I do that occasionally. I'm not that much. But he also used to keep a calendar, a kind of a pocketbook in his pocket. Now, I'm not that nerdy, but I do have a Google calendar. Maybe that makes me more of a nerd, I'm not sure, but that I keep stuff on. My dad taught me that it was okay to have my own unique personality and sense of humor. In high school, I think we had a dress crazy week, so I would dress a little bit different. But it's okay, you know, as long as my jokes are funny to me, then that's what matters, right? Maybe not. He taught me how to have a love for nature and for animals. When I was younger, I was with my niece, Shyla, who's about my age, and one day we were outside just playing, and we found this bucket, and we found a frog, too, and we thought, okay, well, let's put the frog in the bucket. So we put the frog in the bucket, and then, okay, let's fill it with some water. So we put some water in the bucket, and we found a stick. So we were poking the frog in the bucket, in the water, I guess trying to drown it, because it's an amphibian. Can you drown something that breathes in water? I don't know. So my dad came out, and he really was not pleased. That's one of the things I remember the most about him getting upset at. He hated that because he loved animals, and he knew that God created the frog and all that. But he lectured me for killing the frog, and so I have an appreciation for animals after that. He taught me how to drive a car. He taught me how to drive a motorcycle. Here's us. And I think that's me going into kindergarten. Oh. So he taught me to love those things. He taught me to always be prepared. Ever since I've ever known my dad, he always carried a knife, a pocket knife, clippers, and a pen in his pocket. And you'll always find me with clippers, a pocket knife, and a pen in my pocket whenever I'm wearing pants. I mean, whenever I go anywhere, I should say, excuse me. That came out wrong. Whenever I go anywhere, I'm always prepared. We'll move on. He taught me to make do with what you've got. He taught me to fix things with what's around the house and to rig things up. At our house in Cleveland, we have this fan that was kind of wobbly, a ceiling fan. So he messed with it, and he finally found a clothespin clip, and he put it on there, and it weighted the fan, and now it works perfect. He had, I think, a seat back from a chair or something, so he wanted a backrest for his motor scooter, so he put some bungee cords around that and rigged it up, and now he has a backrest. So I like to find creative ways to fix things, too. Last week, Rachel's flip-flop came out, and so I thought, well, I can fix that. So I thought about it, and I finally ended up getting a little rubber washer and put it through there and put the washer around it, and it stayed on perfect. It stayed on great. Now, she said that it stuck to the floor and that there was a bump there, but I don't think she'll wear it anymore, but I fixed it. I did fix it. By watching my dad, you could say that I took Rex Kane's Financial Peace University. I learned how to handle money, to be frugal, to save up, to buy things, and to have no debt, to stay away from debt. And in fact, I thought, did my dad ever, I never saw him making payments, you know, to these loan things or interest, or I never remember him doing any of that. So a few weeks ago, I said, Dad, did you ever have any debt? Did you ever do this? And he said, oh, I thought about it for a while. No, as long as I've been married to your mom, we haven't carried any debt that he could remember, which I thought was quite an accomplishment. He's been very fortunate, but he's passed that on to me, the being wise with money and spending and saving well and staying as far away from debt as I can. He taught me how to use the brain that God gave me, even though I may not have much. Use what you got, right? So use your brain, or what's left, I guess. What? That's okay. I didn't put a picture of my brain up there. Well, it's up there, but you just can't see it, though. He taught me that it's okay for a real man to cry. My father taught me how to read my Bible. He taught me how to walk with God and how to have a relationship with Him. Very eternally grateful for those things. By watching Him interact with my brothers and sisters, He showed me how to keep family a top priority in life. There's them pummeling me at my wedding. But just being present with my family, caring about what the kids cared about. I remember he used to pick me up from school on his motorcycle, and he would come to my band concerts and do all these different things. And he was really in my life, and I was very close to him for that. And lastly, by watching him and Mom, he showed me what a godly marriage looked like. This is them at their wedding some 30-some years ago. And he showed me how to treat a godly woman. He showed me that it was a husband's responsibility to be the spiritual leader of the family. And so he taught me all these many, many different things and many more. And I appreciate him, and I love my dad very much. But I would encourage you guys today, and in your bulletins there's an insert actually, with a little line for you to fill in. You can do it now or you can do it later, but try to think of some lesson that your father taught you that you appreciate. Something good, something that helped you, something beneficial. Maybe a funny story you could share with him. And tell him, if you can at all possible, tell him today. And that'll be mean a lot more to him than, you know, a number one dad mug or a super dad tie. Not that that's not okay to wear ties that say dad on them. But, Dennis. But they appreciate you showing them that they made a difference in your life. And so they did. So tell them how they were in your life. So my dad taught me a lot of lessons by instructing me and telling me, but he taught me a lot more lessons, and I imagine you too, by the way he lived his life. That makes a much, much bigger impact on a kid, not by just what you say, but what you do. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Do what I say, not what I do"? Hopefully no one's ever told you that, but it happens. It doesn't work very well, does it? People, they judge you by your life, not by just what you say, and then live completely different. Life usually works like the other cliche, actions speak louder than words. And who our dad was or was not has a huge impact on us, more than we realize probably. And men, who you are and what you do in your daily life, it makes that same tremendous, colossal, just ginormous impact on others, especially your wife and your kids. And yes, ginormous is a word. It's in the dictionary. You can look it up. It's ginormous or it's enormous and gigantic. Anyway, but who you are and what you do just makes a ginormous impact on your family. So they've done a lot of statistical research, and I won't bore you with much, but on what happens to kids who have no dad, or kids who have dads, but they're not leading, they're not present in the kid's life. Here's just a few. Fatherless daughters are 164% more likely to have an out-of-wedlock birth. Fatherless daughters are 92% have a 92% higher divorce rate than girls raised with dads at home. Fatherless sons are 300% more likely to become incarcerated in state juvenile institutions. And fatherless sons make up 70% of all juveniles in state institutions. There's so many people in prison who didn't have dads, or who didn't have dads who were leading them in good ways. It goes on and on, but the point is, to you present dads, past dads, future dads, it's not just your life that you're affecting with your choices, it's all the people around you, especially your family, especially your wife, and especially your kids. So our fathers teach us lessons, but our Heavenly Father also has tons of lessons for us to learn. Let's take a look at the Bible to see some lessons he has for men and for fathers. The first I want to go to is the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, which Bryce read this morning. Thank you, Bryce. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 1. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And if you're under 25, I would suggest that you underline this. Parents, I'm trying to help you out. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Maybe you could help your kids memorize that, parents, right? Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that come from the Lord. He says, fathers, bring them up, bring your kids up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. So how do we do this? How do we as men bring up our children with the discipline and the instruction that come from the Lord? Oh, well, in order to teach somebody something, you need to know it yourself, right? Hopefully, that's the way it works. You know something, you internalize something, you live it out, and then you can teach others. Your skill, or your study, or specifically, this about God. We need to know God and Jesus, men and women. We need to really, really know them. I want to turn over to 1 John near Revelation. So go left in your Bible, or right. 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 4. 1 John 2, 4. He says, if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. Ouch. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. He says, those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him and know him. And then those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. We can't pretend to know God. I mean, we can. We may trick some people, but you can't trick God. We may fake knowing God. We may fake having a relationship with him for whatever reason. Maybe because our wife's nagging us to go to church or whatever. Not mine, but I'm just saying. But if we fake that, if we pretended, the Bible says that we're a liar. We're lying about who we are, about our character. So it's much more than just a Sunday event, just come and check it off the list. But it's a lifestyle of obeying God. It's a lifestyle of living out his word and living our lives as Jesus did. So how do we teach kids and discipline them with the instruction that comes from the Lord? By internalizing it, by knowing it, by living it out, by really living as Jesus did, and then we can teach it to our kids. So a man's first priority must be God and Jesus, if you're filling in your blanks here. A man's first priority, it has to be God and Jesus. Before you can teach your kids, before you can lead your wife spiritually, you have to have this relationship with God and yourself. We can't pretend, we can't fake it. So if you're wondering, well, where am I at with God? I want to lead, I want to be the spiritual provider for my family, but I'm not sure if I'm doing that. I want to follow Jesus, but I'm not sure if I'm doing that. I just want to ask a few questions, and you can kind of just think about this to kind of tell where you're at. Ask yourself, is loving and serving God more important in my life than sports, my job, or my hobbies? Is loving and serving God more important than these other things? Is he a priority in the way I spend my time and my money? You could say you know a lot about a person by their checkbook, right? You can see what they are interested in, what they focus on. Do I have a hunger and a passion for the things of God? Are you really searching after God? Are you seeking, God, lead me so I can lead them? And last, am I pursuing the saving knowledge of Jesus through prayer and the study of God's word? Am I living out this lifestyle where I can be this leader, this man that you've called me to be? And what people like to say, and I've said it myself too, is that I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to read the Bible each day or pray or do these other things or be with my wife, I have to do these other things. But the President of the United States and myself both have 24 hours in a day. You just have to decide what you're going to do with it. and where your priorities are going to be. And I would just encourage you to make your priorities godly priorities. Make them that would shape you to be a man of character, a man of integrity, a man who's leading your family, a man who is focused on seeking God and having that relationship. Next, I want to turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37:23. He says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." The Lord directs the steps of the godly. So as we're pursuing God, He will strengthen us and equip us and direct our lives as we're seeking His direction. So you say, how do I bring my kids up in these ways of God, instruct them? By letting God direct your life, by letting God direct your steps to be a good father and husband. James says, come close to God and He will come close to you. That's kind of the formula. That's how it works. When we seek God, He comes near to us. And so, as we pursue God, then we become more like Him. That's just kind of how it works. If we're not pursuing Him, if we're pursuing other things, why would we expect ourselves to become more like God and more like Jesus? It won't. What you spend your time and energy on is what you become. So we just need to remember our priorities. And it's not just so we can be more spiritual just for the sake of being spiritual, but it's because it changes the entire way that we live. It changes who we are. It changes our priorities. It changes what our focus is. It changes how we love. It changes everything. So coming close to God helps us live the lives of character, the lives of integrity, and the lives of holiness that we are called to be as men of God and women. So a man's first priority must be God and Jesus. Once you get that, a man must also make a priority of leading his family. Seems obvious, but the simplest things are oftentimes the hardest, right? A man must make a priority of leading his family and spiritually. As godly men, God Himself calls us to meet the needs of our beautiful wife, whether it's a spiritual, emotional, physical, whatever. We're called to meet her needs as her husband. Ephesians says, we give our lives for her as Christ did for the church. We're to give everything to her. And we're also called to raise our children, not just to be good and productive in society and healthy, responsible adults, but we're to raise our children up to be holy and to live and know the things about God, to live out God in their lives. We can be Christian, but we cannot be following Jesus, if that makes sense. You probably know people who say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And you go, really? But as we as Christians need to live that out and pursue God and teach others. So I want to take a look at another passage. Let's go to Deuteronomy, near the beginning of the Bible. Deuteronomy, a fun word to say. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And I'll start with verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Everything you have. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I just want to go back to verse 6. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I, God, am giving you today. Repeat them again and again and again and again to your children. We need to be teaching our kids the things of God again and again and again. How did we learn things? By repetition, by repetition, by repetition. That's how we learn a lot of things. You're not good at something just by doing it one time, usually. So how does God call us to raise our children, right? By teaching them the things of God. When we're at home, like supper time devotions. I remember we did that oftentimes as a family. We would eat supper, and then my dad would open the book, and we would read something and do a life application and that kind of thing. When we're on the road driving, it's a great time to talk with your kids or your wife or whoever. You know, turn down the music or turn it off and just talk to them. Talk to them about life. Talk to them about God. See what questions they have. Help them understand how God fits in their life. And talk to them about everything else. It's just a good time to talk. When you're going to bed, I know there's people who do nighttime Bible stories and prayer time. Bedtime prayers. You know, the kids say their prayer before they go to bed. That's pretty common. It's a great way to get kids into the habit of prayer and into making it a lifestyle and not just a Sunday morning thing. Also, when they get up, I know we're all rushing around in the morning, trying to get everywhere and trying to get the kids breakfast and then off to school or off to go back to sleep, I guess, in the summer, but or maybe to work, hopefully to work. But in the morning, it's great to just start your day with committing everything in it. Maybe even look at your calendar, say, okay, I'm doing these things. I give them to you, God. All that I do, all that I am, I want to start my day by you in it. Give me your power and strength to go throughout the day. So he says when you get up. Also, tie it around your body and write it on your house. Why not? They make bracelets. You guys remember the WWJD things? They used to wear those. There's other bracelets, or he says forehead. I mean, you can get like a Nike band and write a Bible verse backwards and look it in the mirror or something. Whatever suits your fancy, but whatever helps. Also, Bible verses, he says, put them on your walls, the doorposts of your house. We have Rachel and I like to take our pictures that we take and put Bible verses on them and hang them around the house just so we're reminded. This is a picture, and we can show this up here, but this is a picture from our wedding, actually. Our two hands, you can see I'm the freckled one. Yeah. And it says, as for me and my house, or me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And we just really like that verse. My brother did like the lettering things you can get at the store, and they actually stuck it on their wall, all those things. We just have it on our picture. But you can remember the things of God in many different ways. I would encourage you to put up Bible verses, stick it on the bathroom mirror, and memorize a verse as a family each week or each month, you know, on the fridge. Americans, we put things on the fridge. We see it a lot, right, because we go there pretty often. And that verse, I love it, Joshua 24:15, he says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. There's a lot of people in the world who choose to not serve the Lord. They make that choice not to. But we must choose against the flow, against the grain, to serve God as a family. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to be about. This is the best way. And then raise them up in that. We have to make our choice to serve God and lead our family in that. And I just want to encourage you that, men, you can do this. Not by our strength, but by God's strength. Only by His strength are we able to lead our family spiritually, able to be spiritual leaders at the workplace and in our community and all these different places, but especially in the home. We can't do it by ourselves. God has to be in it. So in order to lead our family, we have to be led by God here first. So I just want to encourage you in that. Dads, past dads, present dads, future dads, you, more than anyone else in the world, are able to instill faith in your children. You, more than anyone else, are able to show them what a loving father looks like and acts like. And you, more than anyone else, give your kids the ability to trust and depend on their Father in heaven and God. But remember, you can't give what you don't have, right? You have to seek Him. You have to make God your top priority in your life. You have to seek God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, right? The great commandment, greatest commandment. We'll talk about that next week. But when you do these things, your kids will notice, your wife will notice, the people at your work will notice too, but they will be eternally grateful for you teaching them the things of God. It's much more than just stories in the Bible. It's truth. It's the lifestyle. It's the way we live. And it's eternal life. We can't do it alone, men. We need God to lead us so we can lead our families. I just want to close by reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. starting with verse 9. Paul says, "Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preach God's good news to you. You yourselves are witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory." I want to read that again, verse 11. "And you know, we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy." Men, I just want to plead with you. I want to encourage you. I want to urge you to live your lives, and women, as a way that God would consider worthy. And I pray that you would do the same for your wife and for your kids. Plead with them. Encourage them in their faith. Urge them to live their lives, everything they do, everything they are, in a way that God would consider worthy. There's no better way to live in that. I think that really is what following Jesus is all about. So, happy Father's Day. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would lead us so we can lead our families. Father, strengthen us. We can't do it ourselves. I pray that you would fill us with your power, with your spirit, so that we can be the men that you have called us to be. I pray that you'd be with each and every man here today, and that he would foster that connection with you and step up, and that we could be great godly men for you and for our families. I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.